Okay. I think we're starting. Welcome back, everyone. This week's parsha is Parsha Tazria. We're going to learn the Maimer Daf Chav Sois Tazis V'Sogei LaKara. Being that this week, being Parsha Tazria, it deals with a woman giving birth to a... It deals with first a woman giving birth to a baby boy, giving birth to a baby girl. So we have over here an interesting mimer about a boy and a girl. What does a baby boy mean and what does a baby girl mean in terms of our relationship with God? So this mimer was actually said by the Alter Rebbe by the wedding of his grandchild. Rabbi Menachem Nochem, the son of the Mittel Rebbe, got married sometime during the winter of the year Tavkuf Ayin Beis, which is the year 1812. So during that year, there's the wedding, and that's when the Alter Rebbe said this mimer. Even though the heading of the mimer is not a verse from this week's Torah portion, the heading, the opening verse of the mimer is actually one of the blessings that are said under the canopy, under the chuppah, where every Jewish wedding, I think it's the third blessing that is said under the chuppah, said this bracha. So the verse begins as follows. The verse of the blessing. It says like this. Sois tassis v'sagei la'akara. The kibbutz banel l'toicha b'simcha. The barren woman should rejoice. V'sagei and she should be happy. So the akara, who is the barren woman, should be rejoice and be happy. The kibbutz banel l'toicha b'simcha. When she gathers in her children, her sons, she will gather them in into her midst, the simcha with joy, so then she would be glad. Now, this verse seems to have a little bit of basically the question that Rebbe is going to ask in a moment, and that is that we're speaking about the barren woman. So what does it mean she should rejoice when she gathers her children? If she's barren, then she doesn't have any children. So even though, of course, the simple meaning would be that the barren woman won't be barren anymore, she'll have children, and that is why she'll be happy. That's the reason of her joy. However, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain that the simple, literal meaning of the words is that the barren woman should rejoice. Meaning, as she is barren, during her time when she's still barren, she's still in Akara, she should rejoice. So last week when we learned in the Maimon, we were learning about Moshivi Akeres Habayis. I mean, a few weeks ago, before Pesach, that Hashem restores the Akeres, the barren woman, to be Habayis, Eim Abonim Semecha, the mother of the children. But over here, so over there we interpret it as that she's no more a barren woman. But in this mimer, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain that the barren woman has to rejoice even while she's barren. And the spiritual meaning of what it means a barren woman, and she can be barren and have children. Now let's understand. So, B'milas tassis hine, so behold, B'milas tassis yesbeis perushim. In the word tassis, there's two ways we can read the word tassis. Sois tassis, she should be very happy. Sois tassis v'sagei la'akara, she should rejoice and be happy. So the word tassis, we can read it as the simple meaning, like we're interpreting up till now. Tassis, she should rejoice. So we're speaking about a verb that is occurring. I forgot how they translate this in English. It's a verb. It's a pa'ula. It's an effect that's taking place within the person. Intransitive verb. Okay, it's a verb that's taking place within the person. She should rejoice. That's one way of reading it. And we're speaking. Third person feminine, Lashon Nekeva. We're speaking about her, the barren woman, should rejoice. The kibbutz banel. So ho'echad lashon poyel oimid. This is what is it again? In transit verb. The ka, and it is referring the ka al akara. It's referring to the akara, to the barren woman. The tassis lashon Nekeva, and the word tassis is feminine. We're saying she should rejoice. Shahakara tasis ba'atma. That the Akara should rejoice herself. The Sagelin, she should be happy, the kibbutz baneha, when she gathers her children into her. So that is one meaning of the word tasis. Babeis, and the second meaning is lashon poil yoytze. The second meaning of the word is poil yoytze. What does poil yoytze mean? Poil yoytze means a transitive verb, meaning something that is of an effect that you're doing outside of yourself, right? So tatsis would refer, we're speaking about God. Oh, thank you. We're speaking about God, and we're saying God sois tatsis v'sagel akara. You, God, should cause the barren woman to rejoice. So because in Hebrew, second person masculine is the same like third person feminine, if we're speaking direct, that's that second person. You're saying tatsis in masculine language, in Lashon Zachar, is you should rejoice, is the same like speaking about someone in feminine. They use the same tuf in the beginning. So yasis would mean he should rejoice. Tasis, you should rejoice. And that is the same like if we're speaking about a female when she's not there. So we use that same word. So we can either be speaking about the barren woman herself rejoicing, or we can be speaking about God causing joy to the barren woman. V'koy, and according to the second meaning, koy al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is we're speaking about God. We are speaking to God directly. You should gladden the barren woman. And according to that, what's the end of the verse? Sois tasis. You cause joy, and as a result of you causing joy, the sagel akara. So the barren woman will rejoice. Because second person masculine, hishavim lashon nekeva nesteres, is equal to feminine third person when we're speaking about her. Ki yadu, as it is known in diktuk, in those that are familiar in the Hebrew language. Ulahavin ze, and to understand all of this. So what? Now, usually we know, so this can be two separate meanings and two separate interpretations to the verse. God should rejoice, cause the barren woman should rejoice, or that she should rejoice on her own. But we know whenever there is two interpretations in one verse and one word, they're intertwined one with each other, and one is connected to the other. So these two go together. Well, the Havin Zed, to understand both these meanings, whether speaking about she should rejoice on her own and God should cause joy in her, Yashlahag Dim Tchila, we first have to preface this all, Bir Inyan V'Sagila Akara. First, understand this idea that the Akara should be happy, that the barren woman should be happy. When will she be? She rejoiced the Kibbutz Baneha. When her children, when there will be an ingathering of her sons. So the question is as follows: She'im hi akara shelo yolda, if she is a barren woman who doesn't have any children, may ayin loy banim sheyikbetu l'saicha, from where does she have children that she should gather them? And she's barren, so she doesn't have any children. So what does it mean she should rejoice with her when she gathers her children? The inyan and the idea is kihini yom razal, the sages tell us. Al pasuk on the verse in this week's Torah portion, it says, Isha ki sazri aviyolda zachar. If a woman will conceive and she will give birth to a male, to a boy. So the sages point out in this interesting, the way that it could have said, Isha ki teled, a woman when she will give birth. What is the verse hinting to when the verse says, Isha ki sazria, the woman when she will conceive, viyolda zachar, she will give birth. Who cares about the conceiving? The verse in this week's Torah portion opens up with the laws of childbirth and the impure condition that the woman is in and the sacrifices she has to bring after a certain amount of time. So it should have began with that. Why are we talking about Sazria? So the sages derive from this an interesting thing. I don't know how this works out scientifically. I'm sure it, on some level, this is true, because if the sages say so, it definitely is so. But the sages make an interesting observation, and they say like this. When, in order that there should be a birth, there has to be a transmitting of seeds from male and female, a combination, a coming together of both. So, Isha ki sazria, if the woman is the one that contributes seed first, then the yolda zachar, that is going to create a male. If it is ish mazriya achila, if the man is the one who contributes seed first, then it's going to be in a keva. In other words, the one in the marital union which is going to create a child, the nature of the gender of the child is going to depend on who is contributing first. If it's coming from the man, so then it will be a girl. If it's coming first from the man, if it's coming from the woman, then it's going to be a boy. So isha mezra tchila yaled azachar. And that's what the verse is hinting to. Isha ki tazria. If the woman is the one contributing seed, so then it's going to be v'yolda zachar. She's going to give birth to a male. So why is that so important to know? So the main point over here is, as the Alter Rebbe is going to explain, this has a lot to do in our relationship with God, because in our relationship with God, we're the woman and He's the male, and in our connection, our bonding with Him, we also create offspring. And the offspring, whether the offspring is going to be a male offspring or whether the offspring is going to be a female offspring, is depending on the type, on who contributes seeds first. Now, this mimer, interesting, parallels the mimer that we discussed a few weeks ago when we were learning Adam Ki Yakar. We're speaking about our relationship with God, if it's initiated by man or it's initiated by God. It was a fascinating mimer that we discussed a few weeks ago, that in order for it to be permanent and real and to continue, it has to come from a man's own toil and a man's own effort, and not wait for inspiration to come from above. This mimer over here is exactly running the same course of that mimer, bringing out some other interesting points. So the sages say on this verse, Isha mazra tchila yaled azachar. If the woman contributes seeds first, then she creates, then it will be a boy. Isha mazra tchila, if the man contributes seeds first, yaled es nekeva, will give birth to a female. Now why is this? First of all, let's try to get a little bit into the inner meanings of why. So I saw two explanations on this. Why it depends, if the man is the one who contributes first, it will be a girl. We would think it's the opposite. Coming from the man, it should be. So here's the thing. If it begins with the man's interest, the man's desire, the man's passion is for the woman. So it begins with an image or with a desire for the woman. If it begins with the woman, so it will create a woman. Because it's interesting. If it's coming from the woman, so the desire is for the man. So therefore, it begins with she aspiring to the man. So if it's aspiring to the man, it can create that masculine child. Another interpretation, another explanation given is we know that halachically we always say a law of gavah, when two things mix together, and the question is which one overpowers, the thing that's there first, the lower thing, or the liquid that's coming from above. Which one has the superiority? So the law is Iloa Kada, the one on top is the one that dominates in the coming. So therefore, if the woman is the one that contributes first, so then the masculine seeds will overpower the feminine seed because it comes second, and as a result of that, it will create a male because it's the male that dominates because he's. Because if that's what's being contributed secondly, and therefore overpowering that was there which was there before. If it's the opposite, if the male is the one who contributes first, so then the female's contribution is put secondary. So it's placed secondary, so that will overpower the masculine contribution, and therefore the child is going to be female-like. It's going to be feminine, it's going to be a... But we'll understand this much better in terms of our relationship with God. So let's see. The Yuvan Zeh, Lahavin Zeh, Bavoidus Hashem. And to stand all of this in the service of God. He nay know that it is, behold, it is known. Sheknesses Yisrael Nikra B'Shem Isha. That the Jewish people, Knesses Yisrael means the ensemble of Jews, all the Jewish souls together. And the root of their souls, which is called the Shekhinah, are all called the woman. Vakadish Baruch Hu Nikra B'Shem Ish. And God is called the man. And we know our relationship with God is sometimes compared to the marriage of a man and a woman. The Kamosha Kosev, as it says, you know, we are called, all of Shir HaShirim, the whole Song of Songs is based on, all of Song of Songs is based on this phenomenon, on this idea that God is the chassan, he is the groom, and the Jewish people are the kala, they're the bride. So that's representing the time before the marriage, and then sometimes we refer to as man and woman, as husband and wife. Kamosha Kosov, as it also says in Hoshea, it says, Bayoimahu, on that day, Tikroi Ishi. On that day, you're going to call me your husband. Referring to the time of Mashiach, the Messianic days. So we're going to refer to God, we're going to see Him and feel Him as our husband. So we see that we're that he's the husband and we're the wife. Dehine. And behold, Kamosha be'ish v'isha, just like in a man and woman. Al derech mashal, by way of analogy. Isha mezra'at chilo yaled azochar. When a woman is the one who plants seeds first, then the child is going to be male. Kach, so too. Hine b'knesses Yisrael l'makadosh baruch hu. In our relationship with God, kishay isha hi knesses Yisrael mezra'at chilo. When the woman, that is the Jewish people, when a Jewish man or woman is the one who reaches out to God first, it means we make our first initial contribution. In other words, we, within our own toil, within our own effort, seek to create, to initiate, to establish a bonding with God. By what? By meditating on God's greatness, by trying to develop within ourselves an affection, a love, a passion, a yearning, or a fear of God, whatever it is, an awe, and so on and so forth. If we are the ones who initiate, if we're the ones, so that the seed is coming first from the woman, and we're not waiting for that moment of divine illumination, of divine inspiration transmitted to us from above. We on our own toil and work on ourselves to try to reach out to God, even if we're uninspired, even though we're not enlightened, and nevertheless, we put in the toil and the effort to reach out to God. Hainu b'chinasa sarusa d'letata. This is called the arousal from below. Because it's the woman, it's from coming from us, below down here, beginning, steering up the romance, coming from us. We are reaching out to him. Milmata lamayla, from down upward. B'chinas val ishach chikaseich, which is the idea which it says by Chava, when God said to curse Adam and Eve, Chava. So he told her, that to your husband is going to be your longing. So that's the idea of ishach chikaseich. So if that yearning is manifest within the Jew, the yearning of our soul, kala, there is a kalois hanefesh, kala means comes the word expiring. There is this powerful expiration of the soul where it expires its yearning. It's the soul is seeking to connect to God. Shehu inyan anikra b'lashon haKabbalah. This is the concept that is called in Kabbalistic literature. This is called b'shem halo azman. When we reach out to God, this is called the raising of feminine waters. And that's called the woman contributing seed. It's raising of feminine waters. Waters over here refer to general the human emotions, the human powers. When we elevate them towards God, when we direct them towards God, so we're raising something of our human faculties from our human powers and seeking to connect them and bond them with God. So what does that cause? That causes a divine reciprocation. God is going to reciprocate that love. As a result of that, when God sees our toil and our effort to reach out to Him, He reciprocates and transmits His love back to us. This will cause a reciprocation, an arousal from above. And a drawing forth of mayim duchrin, masculine waters. Azai then you led this zohar. Now if we have this matching up of feminine energy and masculine energy, the masculine, feminine seed and masculine seed come together, so there is going to be, this is a fertilization. What is this going to cause? It's going to cause a child to be birthed, to be born. What is that child? There is an experience of divinity that's going to grow, that is going to be emerging of the Jew and God. And that's the offspring. What is the offspring of a father and a mother? They create a child that has both of them in it. Over here you're going to have a bonding, a state of connection that is going to result out of this union. Which means, in other words, like this. In order to connect and to have real love and real fear of God, a true love towards God, it shouldn't only be something, a fantasy or an imaginary thing, but it should be a real, correct love of God. That cannot come. That's something that can't be created by mortal man. Because, see, we can only love things and relate to things, emotionally be attached to something that is very real to us in our world. Something that isn't really that real to us, so we can't connect to in a very real way. So, if, for example, you hear about something that is completely abstract, something that is completely outside of your world, or out of your senses. So you can't, you know, even though someone can describe it to you, but it doesn't really mean anything because it's not real. We need something. So therefore, when we meditate on God, so we meditate and we create some sort of image, whatever kind of image. Now, God is not really an image. God doesn't have any description, any definition. So whatever we can think of, and anything we can conjure up in our mind in order that we have this somethingness that we can get excited about, that's not really a love to God, because God is really beyond that. So therefore, our love is not really a real love to Him. We're loving what we imagine God is, but not really a love to Him. So to really have a love to Him, we need to have something divine enter our experience. Some of that real divine stuff has to come into our world, has to enter into our sphere of reality, that we should be able to see it, sense it, tap it, feel it. And it has to be real divinity, so that we can get excited about it and really attach ourselves to that thing. Therefore, every time a person reaches out, tries to create love, tries to create through your own meditation and contemplation and study and so forth, tries to reach out to God, God transmits a divinity, a divine illumination, a light, a piece of Himself is transmitted, breaks through the clouds, breaks through the veils and the curtains that generally shroud God, and comes into the person's arena, the person's realm of existence, and based on sensing that real light, now you can really have true love of God and fear of God. So it's a real emotion. So the love must come from that merging. It's our toil and our effort, God's responding to us, and then as a result of both of them come colliding and coming together, it creates the offspring. And the offspring is the love. However, what type of love will be experienced? Will this be love? Will this be a boy? Or will this be a girl? It depends on who initiated. Depends if the connection to God began with the person trying to reach God, and then God responded and transmitted this divinity, this divine energy into the human being so that they can really love God. Or then it will be masculine. If the opposite, if the person is sort of living their life and wandering and not directed and not focused towards spirituality and holiness and God, but and God sends them a wake-up call, which happens sometimes, that God will inspire a person, even though, as we learned in the other Maima, Adam ki akrit, when the man above will suddenly draw a person close. That happens many times when there are when a person experiences a sudden inspiration, he doesn't know where it comes from. That means that God is tickling his soul. God is reaching out. So then it begins with God planting seeds first. So even though the person will respond, and you need the person to respond, you have to get into it, and it takes work on the person's part to get really into it. But then it will create the child, because there is a fusion of both divine energy and the human being's response to that. So there is both the male and the masculine seed and the feminine seed. But since it began with God, didn't begin with the human being, so the child that's going to be born is going to be female. What is the difference of a male child and a female child? The Alter Rebbe is going to explain the awesomeness of the fact that it should be a boy. Let's see in terms of what does that mean. What is the greatness of it? So let's see. Piddish kach in the Knesset Yisrael Makadosh Baruch Kishe. No, we did this already. Va'acha kach nimshach esirusa d'liyei lovam shachas mad oz yeledes zachar. Then there's going to be a boy. Tahainu, what does that mean? Shemayeledes p'chinas ahava. See, the child that is born is the love that is created in the heart. The emotion, that's the child. So, what kind of emotion? Is it a masculine love or is it a feminine love? Tahainu, shemayeledes tizgiz birth p'chinas ahava b'nishmas Yisrael. This creates a love in the souls of Israel, shemepchinas dechar, which is masculine from the level of it's a male child. Tahainu pchinas ahava rav. What does it mean, a male child? A male child is a love that is called great love. We know generally there's two types of love. There is a love called ahava rabba, which is great love, and then there's a different kind of love called ahava zuta. Ahava zuta means mini love, miniature love, small love. So there's ahava rabba, great love, and small love. Or sometimes we call the small love Ahavas Olam, a worldly love. And then there's Ahava Rabba, great love. What is the difference between these two loves? Ahava Rabba means to love God with an infinite love. In truth, it means loving God, experiencing a love to God which is on the level of the divine, not even human love. Then there is another kind of love where you love God in a human way. Ahava Zut, it's a worldly love, it's creation type of a love. Male, the masculine love, is called the love that is an infinite love. Generally, male and female, male is stronger. So it refers to a more potent, more powerful love, as opposed to the female, which over here would be a weaker love. So we'll understand over here the deeper why this is called masculine, this is called feminine. Shehi b'chinas, what kind of love is called Ahava Rabba? The great love, besides the intensity, that it's more intense, it's more of a powerful love, but more than that, particularly the main difference is in two things. To where the love is directed. Where is the love aspiring to? What is the content of that love? What is the person seeking in that love? Every love has you're seeking something. A love is a quest. You're being pulled towards something because you want something. But what is your quest to? So it depends. So that's going to be one difference. What you're seeking, in Ahava Rabba, there is one level, is that which you're seeking is far beyond that which someone is seeking in Ahava Zuta and Ahava Ola. It's a far inferior love, because that which the person is looking for is on a lower level. Secondly, the origins of the love. Where does the love come from? If the love is Ahava Rabba, it's coming from a far higher place. Because both loves, as we're going to see soon, both of them must be stimulated by God. Because we said earlier, true love and fear cannot come from a person's own efforts. God always has to infuse in the person's keli, in the person's vessel, limited creation, God has to infuse something godly from above, that our love to Him should be genuine and real, meaning, what do you mean genuine? It should be something that is really, it's the real thing. You're really loving God, not something, as we said before, not something you're imagining as God. However, the place where the love is coming from, the divine transmission that's creating this love, is coming from a different place. And then, of course, it's the quality of the love itself and the permanence of the love. So the difference between these two levels are many, many things. It's to what the person is loving. It's where it comes from. It's how powerful is that love. And it's also, a fifth thing we can say, it's the nature of the love itself, as we're going to see soon. It's a complete different kind of a love. And also the endurance of the love. The permanence, its lasting power. So let's see. What is the love of the male love? The Alter Rebbe says, Ahava Rabba. So first he's going to explain the content of that love. What is the person seeking? Shehi mipchinas, this is from the level. There's a verse that reads as follows: who is to me in the heavens, and what is with you I don't desire. King David HaMelech, there's a verse in Psalms where it says in Tehillim, where he says, "Mi li b'shamayim, who is to me in the heavens, and with you I don't desire." What is the meaning of this verse? Piddush. Simply it means, who is to me in the heavens? I don't want anything in the heavens. I don't want anything. Simply, King David is expressing how much he loves God. And he says, I don't want anything. I'm not looking for anything in the heavens. I'm not looking for anything on the earth. I just want to be connected to you, God. So in other words, what is he shunning? What is he rejecting? He's rejecting anything else but God. That's a simple meaning. King David says, I don't want a thing. I only want you. So I don't want physical pleasures. And I don't want maybe even more spiritual delights. If it's not God, I'm not interested in it. All I want is you. But the Alter Rebbe takes it much deeper. What David HaMelech, what King David was rejecting, what King David was saying, I'm not interested in, is not merely that he was saying, I'm not interested in anything that isn't God, but he was rejecting even the highest spiritual illuminations from the highest worlds, even the godly manifestation, God's light as it radiates in Gan Eden, and God's light that irradiates through in the highest realms, even that King David says, I'm not interested in it. Because all of that is only divine manifestation. all of that is only a little tiny ray of you. Because that only a little tiny ray of God can be experienced by the creation. What is Gan Eden? Gan Eden is a place where all the tzaddikim, the souls of the righteous, sit and they rejoice because they have great appreciation and comprehension in divinity. But what can a creation comprehend? What can a finite creation, even a bodiless soul, even a detached, abstract, lofty, sublime neshama, sitting at the peaks, at the highest places, but even over there it can only conceive and understand only a tiny tidbit, only a little bit, a tiny bit of God that makes itself knowable, which is only a ray of Him, which isn't Him. So David HaMelech says, I don't want your heavens. I don't want the upper Gan Eden. I don't want the lower in the heavens. More than that, v'imcha, even that which is with you, meaning the highest radiance, that which is so close to you, but it's only imcha, it's with you. It's not you yourself. I'm not interested in that. I only want you alone. And that is what the Alter Rebbe would, as I mentioned this on the other night in the class, when the Alter Rebbe, the author in this book over here, would go into Dveikus, when he would go into a state of deep attachment and meditation and connection to God, he would suddenly rapture in love. And this is what they would hear from him. He would say, God, I don't want your Gan Eden. I don't want your Olam Haba. I don't want your Gan Eden. I don't want the world to come. I don't want, Ich will nicht nur als dir allein. I only want you yourself. But what's the great novelty of that? Of course, if that's, why should someone settle for something less if he can get something greater? So if you can give someone, something that is a simple car, and you can give him a beautiful Lexus, of course he'll want the Lexus. Why not? So the same is also with God. You can give me Gan Eden, and that's only a ray, but I want the real thing. So of course, the Chiddush the Alter Rebbe says is, no, there's something extremely great about that. Something awesome about that. The reason for that is, because if you were to experience God Himself, then you cease to exist. Because God Himself is not something that you can conceive. It's not something you can absorb. It's not something you can take into yourself. The only way you can connect to God's very essence is to stop being you, to completely melt into His light to a point of total obliteration of your previous existence. So there's no, you're not going to be there to enjoy it. So why would you want it? No one, a person wants something. You want something that will give you the light, will give you pleasure, something that will satiate, something that will satisfy you. So Gan Eden is a wonderful place. That's a place where you can go up and experience great spiritual delights, awesome spiritual delights, and enjoy it. Because there remains a you, and there is a you who enjoys it. But when you go beyond Gan Eden, the reason why it's not revealed in Gan Eden, because if it would be revealed, it would completely destroy. Because God Himself, the very definition of God, there's no definition, but the thing about God is that there's none but Him. So if you want to experience Him, you have to give up on yourself and become and join His omnipotence and His omnipresence and the fact that He is the only one. Hu levadei hu v'ein zolof. You have to accept that. So who would want to go there? No one wants to go there. So here's we're saying the chiddush that what the great novelty is that nevertheless King David said that's what I want. And King David wasn't only speaking for himself. King David was the embodiment of all Jewish souls. This is the truth, this is the truest aspiration of every Jew. In his heart of hearts, in the deepest place, in the deepest of the deep. Within the Jew, there is a desire to connect to God in a manner where you become, where we don't want to just get close to Him to derive, to be within the divine radius, or to be within close proximity to Him, to be able to enjoy His life. The ultimate desire of a Jew is to be reabsorbed and completely merge with God, even if it means complete loss of self. So that's what he's saying. V'hainu masha kosev, when he says, Mili b'shamayim, who is to me in the heavens? Im chalecha fatzi pidish. Meaning, afilu masha imach, even that which is with you. With you means b'karav lach. Even something that is so close to you. V'hainu masha kosev, this is what it means, which we say. Ki imcha mekar chayim, with you is the root and the source of life. The source of life is with you. So what does that mean, the source of life is with you? We're speaking about a level that's considered the fountainhead of life. It's the source of all life. So you can imagine the pleasure, the enjoyment. If life, as it trickles down here, after it gets broken into, splintered into myriads and myriads of tiny fragments of divine energy is so enjoyable. There's so much delight in the physical earth. There's so many good, enjoyable things. Can you imagine if you can connect to the source of all pleasure, to the source of all delight? The explosive experience of bliss and ecstasy is just indescribable. Nevertheless, it's imcha, it's with you. And it's makar chayim, it's the source of all life. Life, not only physical life, not only spiritual life, it's the source of all godly enjoyment in the highest celestial places, in the highest, by the highest angels. Nevertheless, it's only imcha, it's only with you. It's not you yourself. Because in order for God to create the world, what did He do? Created a tzimtzum, completely concealed and hid His true entity. Because the world couldn't possibly exist in direct exposure to God's light. Pidish afil masha imcha, even that which is with you, b'kar of lach, close to you. V'ayna masha kasav ki imcha makar chayim, with you is the root of life. Shem chaye oylam haba, which is the life of the world to come. V'tayin nugele ki, and the godly pleasure, shanim shach l'nisham is b'gan Eden, that is drawn to souls in Gan Eden. This anegal Hashem, to delight in God. Machmas asagosam v'askalosam, as a result of their comprehension and goes on their cognitive or intellectual conception, with a wondrous grasp and a wondrous understanding that souls have way up there. We have absolutely no understanding at all what kind of pleasure that is. Nevertheless, this whole grasp only reaches on that which is with you. Shehudavar hatafel, something that is completely secondary or a bateletzlach, and something that is completely nullified to you. V'loy atamamish, and it's not you yourself. Why? Ki leis machshav atvisa beklal, because there's no thought that can hardly grasp him at all. Ella hasagasam, what is the pleasure? What is the grasp? Hupchina ziv ashchina, that is only ziv, meaning a little ray of the shchina. Ziv arba alma, which is only a ray and a glow, just like the sunlight has nothing of the substance of the sun itself. It only has the radiance of the glow of it, but not the very essence of it. So to all the comprehension and all the understanding and the whole life force and the vitality for all of existence, for the cosmos and beyond, all that is only a little radiance of God. It's not Him. The ilazois, and as a result of this, the imchaloi chafatsi, that which is with you I don't desire, elaha v'rabba, but rather a great love, hilibatil v'likolil ba'oiring seif baruch hu mamish. The love is directed and desires to become nullified and to be absorbed in the infinite light, literally into the infinite light. Ulishta'av v'begufa d'malka, and to be absorbed in the body of the king. This is a verse, this is a quote from the Zohar. To be absorbed in the body of the king, meaning to lose any personal identity, and to become completely merged into him, where you cease to exist. Shalamai lamaila mabchina zivar, which is far beyond, way above and beyond the ray and the luminance. V'hagam, and here is the thing. V'hagam shebibchina zil, and even though on this level, e actually a salderech yoshin v'nehen in meziv. At this point, there can't be any enjoyment. Because you can't, it's beyond enjoying. Kiyam adara, but quite on the contrary, what's going to happen over there is chenas bitul b'metzias, literally going to be obliterated. Ukebitul v'skala l'saner b'avuk. It's going to be like a little flame that jumps and tries to attach itself. And you take a little flame and you put it next to a little candle. And you put it next to a huge fire. The little flame jumps and it wants to detach itself, to tear itself away from its separate beingness, and to be absorbed in the greater fire. When it will go there, it will lose its identifiable existence. It's going to become part of that greater thing. Nevertheless, that's why the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, in Perek Yud Ches, in the 19th chapter of Tanya, we describe that's why every Jewish soul is called Ne'er Hashem Nishmas Adam. The soul of the Jew is compared to a flickering flame. It's constantly yearning to expire, to get away from the wick, to tear and go back to its source in God. That's why we always, for souls, we want to commemorate, we light candles. So that's what represents the nature of the soul. Hagam, and even though, shetia ayin ve'efes, and even though it's going to be naught and nothing, that this battle sham b'metzias legamrei, and it's going to become literally lost and nullified completely. Masha enkim chenas yoshim v'nehenim, which isn't the case in Gan Eden. Gan Eden, they get close, but they don't get too close. So they sit and they enjoy from a distance. They enjoy the light. Shemahusay v'atzmusay k'moish. Masha enkim chenas yoshim v'nehenim. Shemahusay v'atzmusay k'moish hu. Which is the I don't know what it means. These one second. Masha enkim chenas yoshim v'nehenim. Shemahusay. Maybe it refers back, which the essence as it is, which is what you want, not like Gan Eden, which is only a derived from a little ray. Afopikain, nevertheless, zed it soin of a chetzah. Nevertheless, this is its will. This is her will, the will of the soul, and this is her desire. Lihizbatel b'muhusev atzmusa, to nullify itself completely out of its essence. Milioys nehen and rak mizib. Rather, it rather wants to lose itself completely and be absorbed in its light, better than enjoying only the ray of God. And the Mittler Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe's son, the Mittler Rebbe expounds on this point, and he says there's no such love in the world. Every love has a little selfishness to it. If you want something for yourself. There is I love you. There's a little bit of the I. Sometimes the I is everything, and that's really lust. It's not love at all. It's all about me, and you happen to be the object of my love. Sometimes it's more about you and a little bit about me, but there's always some I. There's something that I get out of it. This is the love of the neshama to God is a love that is irrational. It's insane. It doesn't have anything to gain from it, but nevertheless, that's what it desires, and that's what the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya is what explains the insanity of the Jew, the craziness that the Jew wants this. To be nullified. Every creature and every being, its deepest desire is to retain its existence, to continue being. And that's just the very embedded in the chemistry of every being is to want to exist. The Jew's soul wants to expire, wants to be not. Now, Bahav is completely selfless. Bahav isu nikra b'chinas dechad, and this love is called masculine. Why is it called masculine? Kamoy milas hazachar al anakeva. This has the advantage of male over female in the sense that what? Kinosh and daitin kalas. Here's the thing. In the three intellectual faculties that a human being has, there is chachma, there is bina, and there is das. Chachma is the ability to conceive new ideas. It's that first popping. An idea pops into your mind. Bina is the ability to really dissect something, see it, to get all the details, process something, integrate something, develop it, flesh it out, broaden it, to understand something in all of its broadness, all of its depth. And what is das? Das is the ability to take this abstract idea and to internalize it, to make it part of yourself. You can study so many things, but you won't get excited about them emotionally because they remain aloof. They remain an abstract concept, an idea foreign, alien to you. Das is when you're able to take it and it becomes real. Like sometimes, for example, we all know there's a God. We can live our lives from when we're little tiny children with parents and educators and schools. Everybody's telling us about God and God. But there is that one day you wake up and you say, wow, there really is a God. And it's not that you've gotten more information. It's now it entered into a stage of das, meaning you start sensing it. It becomes real. It's a reality. So das is that ability to take something and integrate it till it becomes to affect you. It starts being, it's real. Das is a masculine feature. Bina is a feminine feature. That's why the Gemara says that Bina Yisera Nitam Be'isha. Women have a greater capacity for Bina. Men have a greater capacity for Das. Not that women don't have Das, but the man's Das is more powerful than the woman's Das. And that's why the Gemara says women Daitan Kalas. Their Das is weaker. The man's Das is stronger because it's a masculine trait. Therefore, when we're speaking about giving birth to a, over here, when we're talking about love, loving God, in order to love, in order to get excited about God, and to get excited about spirituality and holiness and so forth, the spiritual, the abstract, the godly has to be very real. It's a function of das. Because you have to really sense it, it has to be real. Masculine das means someone is so in touch with the reality of God. God becomes so real, so true, and I sense and we recognize, we sense Him in such a powerful, strong, real way to the point that we're willing to forego on our own existence and melt into His reality. That's how vivid and real we sense His reality. So the das is strong. The das means the sensing of it, the recognition of it. So if one senses God as God being wonderful, great, but he don't sense the absolute reality of how God is absolute, then we're only temporary, fake, fickle, thin, creations, beings, and he is absolute reality. So as long as you don't feel the real das, so then God is, and I'm also. So I don't want to lose myself in his existence because I feel myself too. I want to be. I don't want to lose. I don't want to surrender my existence. I want to be a somebody. I want to be a somebody enjoying God. That's also something. Most people don't think of God at all. Or a lot of people don't think of God. So here is a person who aspires to get close to God. But God's reality doesn't overtake the person to the point where it doesn't make a difference, me or not. He is. And I want that truth to permeate my entire space. So it stops being my space. It's only his space. Because that's the truth. So in order to get to that selflessness, you need to have very powerful das. And that's called masculine das. Master zachar das. And that's what we mean. That you create a love that is based. A masculine love is the love that is desiring to bond with God, or not to bond with God, to merge with God and stop being. So that's what he's saying. V'havizu nikri b'chinez tchar is called male. K'moy ma'ilas ha-zachar alam ha-kevel. Like the ma'il of the zachar ki-nashim, because women die in kalas, their das is weak in this sense. Ma'ashen ken ha-zachar, the male, shuhu bar das, he has a strong das. Zehu she-b'chinez ha-havirah ha-na'u nikri tchar. And this is why that great love, nikra dechar. By the way, it's not meant to be insulting to women. Women need to have weaker das in order for them to be able to be women. One of the things women need to be able to do is they need to multitask. They need to do 10 things at one time. A man can't do that. Why can't a man do that? Because when a man is doing something, generally, like it gets hard to, they're so into one thing that it totally occupies them. They can't, their mind is not speaking for anything else. Because there's a stronger das, but then he couldn't be a mother, couldn't take care of the children, couldn't do a million things. The woman needs that ability to do 10 things, and that's because even when they're doing something, they leave room for other things because there isn't that deep, strong focus and attachment to something, leaving that flexibility. So again, there is that need sometimes for the man to be a man and the woman to be a woman. But in our context over here, in terms of love with Hashem, this applies to men and women alike. And that if one reaches out to God and tries to connect to God, that's called the female's beginning first. And what is that going to create? That God will transmit back, and then the love that will be created is going to be a masculine love, which means it's going to be a love that is going to be beyond the human scope completely. It's going to be a love on the level of the divine. It's going to be like a divine, like a piece of divinity soaring back to be reabsorbed in divine. And it doesn't have any ego to deal with. It just surrenders itself willingly, effortlessly, to that place. The zehu, and this is what we said before, shebchinas ahavirah b'hanal, that this great love, nikra dachar, is called harshu. Das chazak, this is a strong das, and the main, another reason, das strong das, sheboichera ikr v'loyatav, the person is choosing the primary thing and not the secondary. Because the person can choose the ray, because the ray is enjoyable. So it's tempting to go for the ray. But the Alter Rebbe says, but that's getting distracted. And that's not the that's not making a firm choice. Agam shaloyi abchinas yesh, and the great and the main amazing thing is, even though if this is to be achieved, if this love is to be realized, then the person is not going to be a somebody. The ein echafet ha'tafel, and the man does not want the tafel, the secondary thing. Even though it's going to be an amazing experience, and you're going to enjoy it. Now the Alter Rebbe says, let's understand something. This ray that we're speaking about, that illuminates all worlds and brings excitement and enjoyment to all places, it's not something to sneeze at. This is not chopped liver. This is a radiance that illuminates in the highest worlds. Even though this level, nikra makar chayim, this is called the root of life. This is amazing. Ukedai, and this is so great. Ukedai kol yisurim de gehenim. It is worth it, all the suffering and all the pain of purgatory. B'shvileisa l'gan Eden, in order to come to Gan Eden, to Gan Eden is paradise, right? In order to come to that place, it's worth to have all the suffering of gehenim. Like we learned, we mentioned this other time, just briefly going to say this, that Tzemach Tzedek, just appreciate it. Tzemach Tzedek explains somewhere else, the grandchild of the Alter Rebbe, one of the discourses, explains that, you know, generally in this world, if we were to offer someone to suffer, take someone into one of Saddam's torture chambers for a week, even just for an hour, and offer the person in exchange, afterwards we'll bring you to a blissful place, to a mansion, and you'll enjoy the rest of your life in utter bliss and ecstasy. And no one would do it, because it's not worth it to suffer the worst agonizing pain. All the enjoyment that life has to offer is not worth it for excruciating pain. Nevertheless, the Talmud says it, that when Acher, who was the student of Acher, who was the rabbi, the Rebbe of Reb Meir, passed away, he was an apostate. At the end of his life, he became an apostate. So when he died, his students didn't know if they should allow him to go to purgatory. They were able to do stuff to keep his soul away from purgatory. So the question was, should we prevent him from getting into purgatory, but as a result of that, he will never go to Gan Eden. He won't attain to go into Gan Eden. Or should we allow him to be cleansed, because purgatory is really just a cleansing place, in order that he should be able to continue on to Gan Eden? And that was the question. So Reb Meir, who was his greatest of the students, said, you know what, better to let him go to purgatory so that he should come to Gan Eden. Now, generally, the worst Jew doesn't stay in purgatory more than 12 months. A year. That's why we say Kaddish for 11 months only. In 1 month, we don't want to assume that our relative is the worst of the worst, so we say for 11 months to try to help him out. That's the reason we say Kaddish, okay? Because it helps the soul when you say Kaddish for them. Now, this Acher remained in purgatory for over 100 years. His cleansing—he needs such deep cleansing because he was a great scholar and a great person, and he fell so low. So, something like even more than 100 years. I'm not exactly sure. The Gemara makes a calculation on how long it took. Now, the Talmud tells us that, or the Ramban, Nachmanides says somewhere that 70 years of the suffering of Job, which is the worst suffering imaginable, he didn't suffer for 70 years. But if a person was to suffer 70 years of the worst suffering, cannot compare to 1 hour of suffering in purgatory. That's how intense it is. Because the body is limited. So it's limited in all of its experiences. Even pain, it can experience only in a limited form. Because as much as the nerves are physical nerves. So its capacity for joy is limited. Its capacity for everything is watered down in a physical life. So the capacity for pleasure is minute. The capacity for pain is minute. When the soul is outside of a body, everything is expansive, everything is amplified, everything is magnified. So its pain is awesomely bigger. So 1 hour in purgatory is worse. Now, can you imagine? So Reb Meir said, it's worth it for him to suffer for over 100 years, where every hour is worse than 70 years of the suffering of Job, which is the worst suffering imaginable. It was worth it for him to come to the lowest Gan Eden. Gan Eden on the lowest level. Because the pleasure and the joy and the delight is so indescribable that it is worth it. It's worth to suffer. If we would ask the soul, what do you want? It would say, put me through all that suffering for a moment in that place, because it's so undescribed. That's the lowest Gan Eden. Then the Tzemach Tzedek goes on, he says, but from there you go higher, 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 infinitely higher, and this all Gan Eden. So we can imagine that the pleasure and the delights of Gan Eden is indescribable. Nevertheless, the Alter Rebbe says, it's all the ray. It's only a ray of God. It's only that. So what do you... So, but this is very tempting. If someone... The more, here's the thing, for us, it might not be so hard to give up, because we don't know what it is, but someone who does gain, has some appreciation for that ray, does gain an understanding how awesome it is, to be able to set that aside and say, I'm not interested in that. I'd rather go to a place of absolute truth, even though I'm not there to enjoy it, of absolute... That takes das. That takes a lot of das to be able to make that decision, to give up on all of that. So there is, you have a saying, Elchein, and therefore, it will hold it. Elchein, lo yach, the flas, that tough, alikum, a shulah. It will hold it, no. Okadai, call your sir the Gehenim, it's worth it, all the pain of Gehenim, the shvelay, to the Gan Eden, to come to Gan Eden, afil lohocha, even, and nevertheless, hurak chenas imcha, it's only with you, kenis galil, as we said earlier. The ein, aroich klau, and it's not at all, it doesn't have any value at all, legaba erin soif baruch hu, compared to the infinite life. And the Rebbe says the reason is ki biyud nivra olam haba. The whole world to come was created only, it says in the Talmud, with one letter yud. What is a yud? A yud is a tiny dot. So what does that imply? Implies that what aspect of God's energy was transmitted into the creations, even into the highest creations in the world to come, only one dot. Compared to an infinite ocean, shekol pchenas ha'olam haba, all the olam haba, the world to come, einoy elo pchenas nekuda, is only one dot, and that dot unravels like a tiny little minuscule dot on a God put, and that later opens up and becomes the life force of all worlds and the source of pleasure for all of existence. Elchein, therefore, lo yachpitz la'as atafel ikur. This person doesn't want to make something that is secondary into the primary thing. Because of my enjoyment, I'm not willing to choose something infinitely inferior just because it's something that I can enjoy. He'd rather go for something real. And this is what's called in the Mishnah. Last week we began Pirkei Avos. Every Shabbos between Pesach and Shavuot, it is a custom to learn the Pirkei Avos. So in the third Mishnah, Pirkei, I think it's the third Mishnah, it says over there that he said, "Alti yokavadim, don't be like the servants who serve God. Amenas lekabel pras, in order to get a reward." Right? There's a Mishnah that says, "Don't be Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya says this. Don't be like the servants who serve God in order to get a reward. But rather be like the servants who serve their master completely." Without ulterior motives, without any thinking of any reward, selflessly. Okay, simple meaning, the way everybody understands it is, don't think about materialistic reward, or even to be rewarded in the world to come. Think of serving, doing mitzvahs for God's sake. The Alter Rebbe takes it much further. Even if someone's interest in the world to come is not. Some people read in the places, it talks about, it's not like, the of course not the Muslim world to come, that enjoyment. But even if someone gets a little bit of a deeper appreciation, one appreciates the fact that I'll be close to God, and I'll be able to experience divine illumination and all that pleasure. So that's my enjoyment. I want to get close to connect to God. But the Alter Rebbe says, but that too is considered your own personal reward. It's your own pleasure. Don't think about that. Think about connecting to his very being. Shaloyam, and the word paras comes from the word paras, comes from the word prusa, a piece. Al tia kavadim. Don't be like servants, hamashamshan as arav, that serve their master, lekabel paras, to get a little piece, to get a little sliver. Rather, serve your master not to get the piece, but to get the whole thing. But the whole thing you can't enjoy. It doesn't make a difference if you enjoy or you don't enjoy. It's still the real thing. That's the point. Shaloy amenasakala pras. Shepchinas nehen and meziv nikra pras. To enjoy a little delight is called only a piece. She'ena rak prusa. It's only called a little piece. Meloshen aloy price la rav lachmecha. As it says, give to a hungry man a piece of your bread. Cut him off a piece. So these people, a person wants only a ray, which is only a piece. Elchein, and therefore, ein nechaf, it's the prusazu. He doesn't want this piece, vizivzeh, and this little radiance, kiyam lishta'av, the begufa de malka. But rather, he wants to become absorbed in the body of the king. To become totally nullified in the very essence of the infinite. Ashasham prusahanel kalam amish kashiba. With there, that piece is only is absolute. It's considered as naught, as nothing. Ketipo bakiyanis. It's like one drop in the Pacific. That's one drop, nothing. So you're foregoing on that piece, and rather go for the thing itself. Mashing, and this is called masculine love. However, when the love of God, now this is a very sublime love, so selfless, not caring about self whatsoever, you're willing to give up and everything. It's God, as the Mittler Rebbe puts it this way, there's a servant who wants to get close to his master because he wants to serve him. And he hopes that one day, as a result of him serving him, his master is going to elevate him to a position that he's going to be able to be his butler, his own private attendant. So then he's going to be able to be close and always to be there in the proximity of his master. He enjoys, he delights being next to this awesome person. But part of it is selfish. Because you're not really just concerned in the joy of the master. A little bit is it that you should delight in being close to the master. We would look at it as the most sublime service. He's so in touch and so mesmerized and so connected to his master. All he wants is to be able to be in the radiance of his master's face. But if he would clearly know that he will never be elevated to that place, he's always going to remain the outsider. Then he's going to lose his motivation, his excitement for serving the master. So that's called also Menachta Kabo Pras, which means in your service there is a little piece of self. It's not totally selfless for God. There's a little bit of self. Yes. Now they expired not they expired completely. They were willing to achieve a higher level of total expiration. No, it wasn't right because God doesn't. Good. Now let me explain something. It's true. That's what they did. The Alter Rebbe says we should all want this. We shouldn't do this. We should want to expire, but not expire. Because if we expire, then we defeat the purpose. God wants us on earth. He wants us to want to be there. But then we don't go there. Because going there, then we're not anymore. That's a challenge. No tzaddikim, they're Yetzirah. They have to battle a whole different Yetzirah. They have to battle the Yetzirah of expiring and trying to ground themselves always in something down here to hold it that they want to go to the other. But now, Vazel Nikya. To go there, close there, and to catch yourself at the right moment to come back. Mashen Kimchenet Yoledes Nekeva, that is when it's a male. So if it's called Yoledes Nekeva, if it's a female, that is called small love. Shahava, what does it mean, small love? First of all, the love itself, is this love is infinite because there's no ending in this love. You want this, and you want this endlessly. Because you're not going to hold back anywhere. You're just going to go and go and go and go because you want to be totally absorbed. The other love, when you want something, you want to get to a certain level and stay there, so even the love is limited. Secondly, it's called small love is because it's excited about something small, not about something infinite. Shahava zutta, the small love, shahava yamanas the kabal pras. And the love is in order to receive something. The gan eden. The hainu one wants, shachafet kirvas elikim. One desire is a closeness to God, or the daf kabayim to cleave to him. The hainu, shetishoer atzmus muhutanefesh. One wants that it should remain. One wants to retain their very existence. One wants to be there, wants to cleave to God, but in a manner where I can still enjoy it because I can still have a certain self. The Zahu and this level of female. Now the Alter Rebbe is interesting, and the Mittler Rebbe is minor. He says that's also the idea. Interesting why this is called male and female. Is we see that man's, the difference between a masculine passion and woman's and the woman's passion. The woman is a makabel, she's a recipient. So therefore, by her very nature, she wants to receive something in herself. So therefore, she's not willing to let go of herself. Because that's what she is, she's a makabel, she's a recipient, taking into herself. She absorbs the energy, she absorbs the life. Masculine desire is transmitting, is outward, is giving of self, giving of self to the point in this context of giving of self entirely till you don't exist anymore, giving up totally. Zeh, and this is also what it says, b'chinas, this is the idea of nafshi ivisicha. There's a verse that the lower kind of love is also what is symbolized in the verse or spoken about in the verse where it says, "Nafshi ivisicha balayla," my soul yearns for you at night. So, what is the meaning of that verse? My soul versus yearns for you at night. The simple meaning is my soul yearns to God at night in the darkness when we don't see, when we don't understand, when we're not. We yearn for light. We yearn for spiritual illumination, so forth. The deeper meaning of this verse is like this. The Zohar really interprets it like this. Nafshi ivisicha. If the verse would mean my soul is yearning for you, then it should say, Nafshi ivsach, my soul is yearning. Nafshi ivisicha means, literally, to translate the word correctly means, Nafshi, my soul, ivisicha, I yearn for you. Now that's the clumsy sentence. My soul, I yearn for you, doesn't make no sense. It should say, my soul yearns for you, not my soul, I yearn for you. So the Zohar interprets it like this. When one contemplates the God and how God vitalizes and energizes and gives life to all of existence, so then one realizes that Nafshi, that God, you're my soul. You're the source of my existence. You're what's making me. You're the very substance of my being, of my world. And therefore, just like a person, this love is a type of love where just like a person loves life, we love life, and therefore we love our own soul. We don't feel this always. Why? Because we're constantly experiencing life, so we don't feel the yearning for life. But when you're walking down at night and someone is following you, and you're a little in the huda, so then you suddenly experience a strong love for life. But when a person is fighting for their life, God forbid, in an illness or something, and so then you feel that powerful yearning for life. You want to live. So the Zohar says that when a person contemplates, if a person realizes that God is the life force of the world, so then he would wake and realize, and God is really the soul of existence. So every night he would wake up in the middle of the night to study Torah and to connect to God, because just like a person yearns for life, so you yearn for God. You want to take more divine energy into your being because that's life. So you yearn, but that's the lower life. That's the lower love. So you're yearning for God because God is the source of your existence. So you play a role. A person's own beingness is significant to them. Not loving God in a manner where just God is, because God is the source of my life. So that's the Zohar says, Nafshi, because you're my soul, Ivisicha, not my soul yearns for you. Because you're my soul, Ivisicha, that's why I yearn for you. But if we love God because He's our soul, then that's called Balayla, that's called night. Because the person is still in the dark. He hasn't really, truly, really experienced God. Because if you would really experience God, you don't care about the fact that He's your life. He's real, what's the difference? It's not about you. So that's why it's called Nafshi v'sicha ka'adam ha'mesave, like a person who is longing l'chayei nafshoi, to the soul, to the life of his own soul. L'chein, and therefore, boicher yoyse b'pchenas ha'pras, the person is rather choosing the little piece, shurak ziva ora, which is only a little radiant, the yud nivra, with the yud, God created the world. Why is the person choosing it? Kedei lishar al mehusei v'atzmusei, because the person doesn't want to forfeit his own existence. You want to retain your beingness, shalan nefesh of your soul, the eimei chafei, and precise, I don't want to give up, and I don't want to be absorbed in Him, God, because why? Because that's not going to be enjoyable. The eimei chafei tzlish ta'ava, doesn't want to be drawn in, v'libatel, and to become completely nullified, kiskalalus ner ba'avuka, like the little flame that became absorbed in the greater fire, v'atzmis oirin soif baruch hu, the essence of the entity. In nikra b'chinas ahav zutzu v'shem mekeva, and this is called female. Shadata kala, she has a weak das. She'oisef a tafel ikar, she's choosing something that's secondary, and she makes that into the big thing, as opposed to something important. Nahainu al menas lekabel pras, and that is called for the sake of receiving a pras. Bishvil al agarmei shalom, because of one's personal own benefit, one's own personal gain. The zehu, and this is the meaning of the verse. Nafshi v'sicha balayla, my soul yearns for you balayla, by night. Shebchinas ahav v'zu, this love nikra dayin leila, laila. This love is called night. Hi ahav v'shal choshech. It's called the love of night. It's a light of darkness. I remember seeing in a Maimer of Pesach from the Tzemach Tzedek, where we know Yetzias Mitzrayim, interesting, took place at night and by day. There was a certain going out of Egypt which was at night, by the plague of the firstborn, and they were freed. Pharaoh freed them already at night, but they didn't go out till the morning. So there's the Yetzias Mitzrayim of nighttime, and the Yetzias Mitzrayim of daytime. And he explains exactly this point, based on this idea. Yetzias Mitzrayim by night means that you experience love, instead of having love where most of our passions and love is to the physical and to this, one is enlightened, and one experiences a higher love. You direct your love to God. But it's what kind of love? It's a love where you want God, as long as God substantiates your own existence. Will give you fulfillment. Will give you... So that's called nighttime. That's also going out of Egypt. But you're still in the night. And you're still contained within certain parameters and limitations. The real Yetzias Mitzrayim takes place in the daytime, when things are clear. And then you can love, and you can be drawn to what really is to be drawn to, and that is God's very essence. The Nikra, the Zehu Apidish, and this is the meaning, Shekeshe Isha Mizra'at Chila, when the woman contributes seed first, Yaleda Zohar. Now we'll understand when the woman is the one who is the one who initiates or creates a boy. The man is the one who creates first and creates a girl. That is known. It is known that the love and the fear that a person arouses within his own soul, that is only an arousal from below, to love and fear that comes from above. This is a thing we mentioned earlier. That any real love and fear of God and awe of God cannot really come from a human being. It's something that must be transmitted from above. But nevertheless, that which is transmitted from above depends on who initiates. What is God going to give you? Is God going to give you a small love, or is He going to give you the real love? It has to come as an arousal of above. If the arousal from below comes first, that the person toils himself. A person doesn't wait for divine stimuli, for divine stimulation. And the person on his own toils to create love and fear from his own heart, from his own understanding. Azai then nimshach hisirusa d'leyela mepchinas amadrega gavoya mepnimi yisoev. Now let's understand, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain, why is it that when we're the ones who reach out first, then what's going to be transmitted is a greater love. And when God is the one when God is the one who stimulates first, then it's going to be a lower love, it's going to be a female. Why is that? Because what creates the love? What creates the love is really the godly light that comes to us. If the light is coming, if the energy, if that divine transmission, that which God is sending down to us, is coming from the ray, if it's coming from that level of ray, meaning if it's coming from the external of God, meaning that what every single thing has an inside and an outside. The inside is, let's say in a human being, your inside is your feelings, your thoughts, your personality as you are to yourself and no one knows you. And there is the outside is your appearance to others, how you extend yourself to the outside. That's called a keli. The outside is when an outsider grabs it. The inside is the thing as it is onto itself. The inside and the outside of a thing. So in God there is also an outside and an inside. The inside of God is the way God really is. The outside of God is how He relates to the creation, the chitzoni, the external. If that which God transmits to us in order to excite us is coming from the ray, from his outside, so then what is going to be, how is that, what, so that's going to attract, what type of love is that going to call forth? A love to that ray. That's what you want. If the love comes from the internal of God, from his inner essence, from a place where there's none other but him, then what kind of love is it going to cause? It's going to cause a love that is also endless, infinite, a love to that place. And that's a place where, as we said before, you have to melt into a love that you have to completely... So now, here's the difference. When the female is the one who initiates the bond, that excites God in a very deep way. And that calls forth his inner being. When he has to do it first, it doesn't excite him so much. And that's in every relationship. The man will get far more excited if the woman reaches out to him first, as opposed to him having to reach out to the woman. In our relationship with God, it will work. If God initiates, it's coming. And the deepest thing of that is because we know, L'maisa yadecha tichsa. God created the world in a manner where he wants us to do the work. There are times that we fall down, times that we are incapable, times that we mess up, and he has to get down and pick us up, set us straight. But the verse says, L'maisa yadecha tichsa. God longs for us to do. That's what gives him interest, because he can do, he knows he can create love. His enjoyment is if we can create something. We can do something. So therefore, and ultimately that's why he created the world, that we should draw forth his interest. We should bring him down. So as a result of that, when we're the ones who bring, so that stimulus, that gets him excited in a deep place. If it gets him excited, so then the energy comes from the inside of his life. If it comes from that place, so again, there's two things. There's first us toiling. That excites him, that we're working hard. When he gets excited in his insides, from that place, he showers that light down on us. When that light comes down, automatically, what will it draw forth? A love to that place. A love, an insane love, to melt into his infinite life, into his true being. If we're not doing the work. So he will do it, but he will do it, we can say, more lethargically, not as excited. Because, you know, after all, he's got to get us to do something. So then the initial attachment or his reaching to us is from his outside, not from his inner self. So that will attract us back to his outside. Sometimes this is called God's back as opposed to God's face. Now, as he said, Azai then, Nimshach, Hesarusa Deliela, we're holding two lines after the little parentheses, Kamachakas. Azai then, Nimshach, Hesarusa Deliela, the arousal from above is coming. Mipchinas the Madrega Gavoya, it's coming from a higher place. Mipnimi Yisa'ur, from the internal of the light. Vachayas, and the energy. Shemeir Oirin Saifaruchu Beknesses Yisrael, that the Infinite One is illuminating into the assembly of the Jewish people. Vayadeza, and through this, Yoyleda Zachar, you will create a man. Sheyara all of ruach memoraim, that God will bestow upon the person a spirit from above. Liyosa hava b'pchinas hava rabba, that the love should be in a state of great love. Lamaylam asagas nafshoi, far exceeding one's comprehension of one's soul. Sheyachpoitz li kolal lishtava, one desires to be absorbed and be in him. However, lepa'amim, sometimes hagam she'enes erusad latata. Sometimes there's no arousal from below. We're not doing, we're asleep. Mamata from below. Imkozen, nevertheless, God sometimes jump starts it. Nimshach esarusa d'leyela, there is an extension of God's energy. Tchila la'oyer esarusa latata, to get us stimulated. So v'dzah nikra ishmazriya tchila. This is called man planting seed first. Then, esarusa d'leyela zu, since this arousal from above, kivan shenimshacham b'li esarusa d'leyela. Since it's coming without an arousal from below, so it's only coming from the external of God's light. So it's only coming from that ray, from God relating already to the world, God leaving room for something other than himself. So the excitement is going to be one which is me and God, the person and God, the person leading. And the highest of God, Shima Oyrer is Gamkin Esava Sarusa Latata, even though it's going to excite us and it's going to bring forth an arousal from below, the Nasa Pchenes Haylada, there's going to be a birth. The reason why there's going to be a birth, because you have a combination of masculine energy, God is reaching down to the person responds, so it's going to create a child, but it's going to be a girl. Ma'acha she'esh esrizu l'seh esrizu l'tata. Acha he'lada, but whoever the offspring, the birth, hurak p'chenas nekeva, is only the girl, with meaning shehu ahava zuta, which is considered a smaller love. Ha'niskaliel, as mentioned above, rav is tzemoina levad, which is to quench one's thirst. Meaning the content of the love is I'm thirsty for that great energy, and we're seeking to quench that thirst. And not to pour itself out. In other words, not to completely rapture and to pour oneself out into God's lap and to cease to exist. It won't have that potency, that power, that level of truth, or that level of connecting to what is real. And look into the Zohar and Pashas Tazria. Now this basic is something the Alter Rebbe says, but it's based on a statement of the Zohar this week in the Parsha. Daf Mem Hei Soif Amad Aleph. So I brought the Zohar over here. It's a very nice piece, just short. But this week in the Parsha, you see exactly this point that we're learning over here. Look what it says. Tochazi, come and look. Yishato de kutshe berichu ishtakech buhu beknesses Yisrael. At the time when God is found, in other words, he is amongst Knesset Yisrael, amongst the Jewish people. So in those times when he unites and he's intimate with her, and she is the one who arouses a love to him, her desire to him first, and she draws him to her with an abundance of love, v'tiyufta, and yearning and longing, k'dein esmalio mesitra diyamina. Then God responds from the right side, from the side of the right. Now we know that chesed is the right, is masculine. Is it right? V'kamo ichlesun mishtakcha besitra diyamino bekila almin. And then all the armies of the right are generated. In other words, it causes a flow of chesed, of energy of kindness in all realms and all worlds, because it's that coming from that right side. However, when God has to initiate the love and the desire first, and we respond after, and she responds after, and not at the same time, but it follows. In other words, as a result of God, then kedain kula besutra de nukva. Then all that takes place is on the side of the female, on the feminine side. Ishtakich, and it's usmala itar, and the left side is stimulated. The kamu uchlisin kamei, and then all the armies of the left. It's also a positive energy, but it's not umisari besutra de smala bakuliyam in all words. And this is what it means. Isha kisazriya v'yolda zacha. If it's coming from this, we're going. Yeah. And then it says how great the tzaddikim are, they're able to initiate first and draw down the light from the right. So now, however, no. And also look in the Ma'im of Ahoya Mispar, it's in Parshas Bamidbar, in the idea of Bas Koil Machrezes. This is a fascinating thing. In the Ma'imer over there, it speaks about when we say God awakens us, God stimulates first. The Baal Shem Tov says this is the content of all the times when there are. It says Bas Kol Yotze, a heavenly voice comes out and says, "My children that have gone astray, come back to me." Every day it says there is all kinds of announcements that come out from the upper worlds, where God calls out, where there is from the heavenly level, they call out, they make certain announcements, and the cause. And the Baal Shem Tov says no one hears it. The Baal Shem Tov says really our soul does receive these emails every day, and they sometimes we click on the email and we read them. Sometimes we just send it to the recycle bin and we don't even open up. But God sends us certain messages every day. There is divine message to wake us up. Now it's interesting that these bas kols is the idea of God stimulating first. They're called bas kol. Why do you call it bas kol? Why bas kol? I never thought of that. Bas kol. Bas means a daughter. Bas kol means the daughter of the voice. Kol is the heavenly voice from above. What will that cause? It will cause a daughter. It will cause a girl, a bas. Because that's the child that will be born will be the girl. Now, when Knesset Yisrael is in this level, the Ishmazriya Tchila, when man has to stimulate first, Nikras Akara. Now she's called barren. Why is she called barren? She has offspring. She has daughters. Why is she called barren? So the Rebbe says, not because the girl is not called offspring. It's because when she's creating a girl, so even though she has a child, that child is not attributed to her. Because we said earlier, when man plants seeds first, it's a girl. So it's mainly, it's attributed to the man, not to the woman. So even though it's passing through her, she also plays a role in it, but it's not really, she's not playing much of a role. If she puts the work in first, then it's called her children, because it's attributed to her work. But if it's she's just a recipient of that light, so even though she creates children and she has girls, but those girls are also not hers because they're coming mainly from above, so she's a barren woman. So now when Nikras Akara, she's called barren. The Alpha Gashia led this Nekeva, even though she has a Nekeva, Shubchinas Ahavizuta, which is the small love, Nikras Akara, she's still called Akara. It's as if she never gave birth at all. Lefi, and that is shagam haylo dezu, because even this birth leinimshach ba mitzad atzma is not drawn to her from her own. Ayadei serusa deletata shala, she didn't create it. Rak shenimshach ayadei kedimus serusa deleila, this came about through the initiation of the arousal of above, the ishmazriyat chila. The man was the one who caused it. Im kein ein nikra haylo dal shema, then this birth is not attributed to her. Elachay nikra sakara, she's called barren. And the Mittler Rebbe and the Mimer adds more than that. This is semi-barren, because she, after all, she still has children. It might not be attributed to her. The Mittler Rebbe says in the Mimer that sometimes a person is in such a low level, not only can't they initiate, but even when God initiates the love, and even when God sends down that great illumination above, we don't even have the power to respond with love of our own. Until now we were speaking that God jump starts, and once he jump starts, at least the person kicks in and gets into it. Sometimes there are these things that come and we don't even get that, we don't even respond at all. So that's real barren. There's nothing being born. Even the female love isn't there. And here is the amazing thing that we're learning over here. We're saying this very barren woman who doesn't have it, either she doesn't have any children at all, or even if she has a children, they're only female, because and she's called Akara. Nevertheless, she should rejoice. Why? Because if she will rejoice, and we're learning a little different here, if she will be glad, and if she will experience great joy in her service of God, then even though she's a barren woman, b'kibbutz banehal l'soicha b'simcha, she's still going to gather in her boys. Which means, even though according to the divine system, the way God sets things up, the way it works is you can only experience this higher, superior love, the masculine love, only as a result if we were the one who reach out first. If it's coming from God, we can't create. Chiddush is, that's true. Usually that's the rule, and you can't change that. But there's one exception. If a Jew serves God with joy, joy breaks all the barriers and breaks all the systems. That even if you're the person who can't create any of your own love, and God is the one who has to stimulate, and it's coming from the man, a boy will be born. There will be masculine children. There will be a rupture of this incredible love will come as a result of joy. So there is a person, here's an amazing thing. You can serve God with love, with passion, without joy. You can serve God without love. You don't have the love. You don't have the feelings. You don't have the... But you're just so excited about the fact that you have the merit to do a mitzvah. You can serve an infinite God, even if you don't have love for Him. Love meaning you have to really have closeness. You don't really have that. But you're just happy. You're a happy Jew. So that joy, sois tassis. Why is that? when there is joy from below, that causes, and the reason for that is like this, because joy down here, a person's joy causes joy up there. God is your shadow. When there's joy down here, even though it's a tiny little, minute, small little human being's joy, God mirrors and reflects a human being. There's joy up there. The Alter Rebbe says an amazing thing. When God is happy, when there's joy, joy opens up a human being. A joy brings out, the inner human being erupts in joy. And there is no protocol. There is no systems. There is no control. There is no... When joy comes, as you see, when a person is happy, when a person is in a happy, joyous mood, their regular nature is suddenly... You can have a very shy, timid person. When they're making a wedding or their child, suddenly they're talking and they're kidding around and you can have a very stingy miser. When it comes to their own wedding or their child's wedding, they're the most generous person. Why? Because joy brings out the inner human being. It makes a person explode, the inside of the person. And more than that, it accentuates all your powers. Your mind suddenly can conceive the deepest ideas that usually you can't get when you're happy. There's an opening. And basically the whole human being stretches open, opens up when a person is happy. Joy down here below causes God to rupture, if you can say, with joy. And when he ruptures with joy, then his very system that he created, that what? That of man and female, and that if it comes first from us or it comes first from him, it has to work that way. That's a system. That's part of the system that God... But now, it goes beyond the system. Because we've reached to the very essence of God that transcends both male, female, all these levels. We reach to the very inner core of him. And over there, there is no parameters. There's no laws and regulations and systems. There's no din. There's no judgment. The judgment means whatever. And all that doesn't exist. There's no boundaries. So then, even if he's the one who has to stimulate the love, and it's coming from him, if we respond with joy, or there's general joy, then that will stimulate with, will be able to cause even the ordinary simple Jew to rupture with that great love that we spoke about before, and boys will be born. Let's read it inside. On this it says, V'sagela akara b'kibitz banel, that the akara, the barren woman, will gather her children. And here it really, she's still barren, because even this birth is not attributed to her, it's coming from God. So she is barren, but she has boys. Now the Alter Rebbe, according to any simple interpretation of the verse, you can't answer that. You can say first she was barren, then she had children. But here you can have her simultaneously. She's now barren, because now the children are not hers, it's coming completely from God. Now, and if anything, it should be a girl. No, even then it will be the kibbutz banel. Why? Because, and remember we learned in the beginning, we said, sois tassis. Tassis has two interpretations. She should rejoice, and God should cause her to rejoice. One is dependent on the other. If tassis, if the Jew who is barren will nevertheless experience joy, will evoke joy in their own heart, if she will enjoy it, so this will cause joy from above, and then God will, and that great joyous light from that very deep place will come pouring down, and that will break all laws and all boundaries, and will make the kibbutz banel b'seichel b'sim. So the azel amir sagil akara b'kizah pidish sha'av gam kishihi b'pchenas akara, even though when she's an akara, ella, she's a barren woman, and the arousal has to come from above first, to arouse the arousal from below. Nevertheless, there will be a gathering of her children. She's going to give birth to a boy. How is this going to be? If it is joy, then that all is going to cause it. Shayadei hasimcha shel mitzvah, through the joy of a mitzvah, yachalias b'chinazu, this can bring about this level. Even though the man is the one who initiates and contributes first. Im kozeti yoled hazachar. Nevertheless, it will be a boy. The inyan and the idea is as follows. The hinek sivit says in a verse, tachas asher lo yavadetas Hashem alekecho besimcha b'tzuv levavot. There's a verse that's speaking about this is the rebuke and the horrific opposite of blessings that are discussed in the various portions of the Torah. If Jews will not fulfill God's commandments and they won't serve Him, then God is going to bring upon them the worst things. Okay? So over there, in one of the verses it says, all this is going to befall you because you did not serve God with joy and with a good heart. Simply it means the main emphasis, you didn't serve God in your good days. So then God says, I'm going to... But the Arizal says, not as a result that you didn't serve God. No, you did serve. As a result that you didn't serve Him with joy. I mean, even if it's just joy that's missing, and for that itself, God is going to bring all these horrific... So that needs to be understood. Just because there's lacking joy, why should this bring all the suffering? So that's the question. As a result of you not serving God with joy, what does it say? Vavadata esayvecha. You're going to serve your enemies. Seems to be kind of harsh. Just because you don't have any joy, you're going to serve your enemies? The L'chayra Mashma, at first glance it seems, Afa Pisha Oyved Alekim, even though one is serving God. The service is not with joy and with gladness of heart. So then the draw, what's drawn down as a punishment, you're going to serve your enemies. This seems not to be understood. Why should it be such a bitter punishment? Just because there's lacking joy, levat. Why is that? Acha inyan, the idea is, the Alter Rebbe says like this. K'moshe Kostev, it says, Ki Adam ain't tzadik ba'aretz ha'sheyase toy v'lo yech. There's a verse that said, there is no righteous person that does only good and never sins. Every person is guilty of something. So even the most righteous, there is something lacking. You know, sin doesn't necessarily mean sin. Sin can mean something lacking. It's already called sin. Yechta comes from the word lacking. So there is no righteous person who's... So here's the thing. It's not that God is going to punish, God forbid, because of not joy. The lack of joy doesn't deserve punishment. The opposite. Punishment comes for sin or for a negligence in the serving of God. That's what brings punishment. However, if you would have had joy, if a person serves God with joy, that causes God to be joyous. And if it causes God to be joyous, God overlooks sins. So then there wouldn't be punishment, even though the sins deserve repercussions. There is no punishment. Because in the face of the king, when the king is happy, and the king is in a good mood, he's going, and you can bring the biggest criminal, even the biggest criminal is pardoned. And it used to be in the olden days, if a criminal would get to see the king, so the matter of fact that they're in front of the king, and the king sees them, and they stand, there's a verse that says, Or Pnei Melechayim. In the light of the face of the king, of the countenance of the king, there is life. So automatically life is granted. So when God's inner, in other words, all this that there is judgments, that's all when God's inside is contained and withheld, and there is a certain protocol, and there's a certain system of the way God decided to set the world up with kindness and discipline and so forth. There's a certain balance of it all. And that's when his inside is withheld. But when there is the innermost is revealed, so that there is no judgment. It removes all, as it says, Simcha Mamtekes Asadinim. Joy takes away judgment. And that's what Hasidim always knew. That the best thing to do when, God forbid, someone is in a serious, needs help, is to make a Chassidish of a bring in a gathering and say L'chaim and sing songs with joy. Instead of like one of the people do, run and say Tehillim and cry and all that, that could work. But even a better thing to do is to sing and dance. Because that causes joy above. It brings simcha above in the upper world. Ki ma she'en kein, I remember there was someone who I knew had an issue with a child that was a problem. Was born with a serious threat and stuff like that. And for weeks, literally for weeks, when the child was born, for weeks, every single Friday night, he had a Fabrangin in his house. Just for the fact that, and this was all for the schus of the baby, and Baruch Hashem, the baby turned out to be wonderful. but it was, and it was just, and it was just such a beautiful thing to see. It's a father, very stressed out and proud to be in the hospital and all kinds of things. But it was such a confidence and such a feeling of, and that's the thing, as he says over here, the punishment is coming because of the sin. But had there been joy, then even if there are sins, it would have been overlooked. If the one would have served God with joy, shall mitzvah of joy, the joy of a mitzvah, so then the power of this joy, this arouses joy above, and this is what nullifies all judgments, because in the light of the countenance of the king there is life. So the Tzemach Tzedek over here brings the Zohar. He says, look in the Zohar Parshas Tetzaveh, Daf Kuf Pei Dalet. In the Zohar Parshas Tetzaveh over here, it's nice to see these words. So the Zohar says, these are the words. Tochazi, come and look. Al mitata kaima lekabla tadir. Our lower world is corresponds to the upper world. The Ikra Evan Tov, it's called, I don't know, it's called a good stone, a precious gem. And the upper world will not give it, responds, Ella Kagavna de Iekaima. In the same manner that we stand from below, that's the way God transmits from above. If the person stands with a with a radiant face below towards God, with a joyous, happy radiance from below, Kedain Hachi Naharin Le Mela'ela. In the same way, God responds from above. It was our joy from below causes that same happiness above. The iu kaima ba'tziva, but if a person down here below is in saddened and downcast and depressed and whatever, solemn and whatever, yahavan leidina b'kavle. So then God is also in that same exact mood. And that's it. So that's the thing he's saying over here. When there is joy in the person's service of God down here below, that brings a joy above there. And when there's joy, then the... And there is this stuff. So just like it is in regards to punishment, now the Alta is going to take that same theme as it is in regards to punishment, also applies to what we spoke about before. There's a certain system that when God is the one who initiates, it will create a superior love. I'm sorry, an inferior love. When we initiate, it will create a superior love. But that's only as long as we're dealing with the regular system of the way things work, in that where there is dinim, where there is a system of discipline, where God has disciplined already himself to respond measure for measure. But when there is this joy, this goes beyond, in a sense, almost like God doesn't restrain himself. And then there's no system. And then even if it's coming from above, it will create a boy. Let's read it. When you didn't serve God with joy, then you get punished for the sins. Because there's no tzaddik. And this goes mentioned above. Similar to this will also be understood over here. Kine kol hanis kaliel, all that was mentioned before. Marsha yesh hefresh beit isha kisazria. This that we said there is a difference between a woman that will transmit seed. She'oz yeled a zachar, then she will create a male. Ubein ish mazria tchil, and a man that she'ena yeled a cell in the cave, and then this only creates a girl. Zeu adaska, this is only kasha oirin, say baruchu nimshach, the derech v'seder adragis ishtalshulis. When the infinite light progresses through the regular order of Hashtalshlus of chain link progression, Shalpimamar Kavamida, according to the measuring stick. According to Kabbalah, there is, when God created the world, he first retracted and hid all of the infinite light with a tzimtzum. There is the primordial contraction. And then God reintroduced his light into the world in a very thin line. And that's called Kavamida, it's called the measuring stick. And it measures everything. It gives in a very limited fashion, in order to fit, he adjusts himself to the creation. That's the order when things come through the adjusting funnel. But when we can reach into the raw energy that's beyond that adjusting measuring light, when is that through joy? So that disregards the whole measure, and it's given without any calculations. There's no calculations over here. So that's only Shapi Barakav. Shakachi Amida. Then there is that measure. Shem Isha Mezras Tchila. If the woman is the one who is the one who stimulates, Va'achshir Dari, and the generation is worth it, Sheyesh Serusa Delatata. there is the arousal from below. That's going to cause a arousal from a higher place. So it's going to be born a male. B'chinas ahava rabba, the great love. Ma she'en kein kishaloi ach shedari. When the generation is not worth it, because this is really dependent on the generation and on an individual scale and also on the Jewish people as a whole. The lack is arousal to latasa, and there is no arousal from below. Azai hamida sheyimshach arousal le'ela rak mebchinas chitzaynis. Then what does it call forth? It calls forth only the external light to be drawn forth. Atcheina yoled the cell in the cave, and it only stimulates, it only creates a girl. Because as we said before, when it comes only from the external level, then that which it arouses within us is a desire for the externalities of God, which is considered the small love. Ma shenken ayde simcha shel mitzvah, which isn't the case when there is the joy of a mitzvah. Shaba oyre b'chinas simcha al yoyna, which that itself arouses supernal joy. Shasimcha goyre magili, because joy causes revelation. Vahu, and that means Sha'or bav and nimshach ma'atzmus ha'matzel. The light comes and emanates from the very essence of the emanator. Generally, just in short, it's explained in Hasidic terms in other places that there are three levels when we speak about God. There is what we call mamale kol alamin, that which God fills all worlds. That's called the ray. Then there's soviv kol alamin, that which encompasses all worlds. The energy of God as it is aloof, higher than creation, surrounds all worlds. And then there is God himself that is beyond even being beyond. Okay, there is the indwelling, the outer light, the or makif, and then there is God himself where he's neither makif, nor pnim, even higher. So when ishmas riyatchila, when it's coming from God, then it's coming from the mamale, from the filling light, the indwelling light. When we initiate, then it's coming from the soviv. Then God responds from the encompassing. When there is joy that reaches to the very essence of God, even higher than soviv and that place. And from there is no, it's beyond male and female, beyond all that. And there is no. And then even when the man contributes, it can create a boy. And that is also the meaning of, just one second, that is also the meaning of the verse. It will tziyon ye'amer, and to tziyon it will say, ish ve'ish yulad ba. There's a verse that says, and to Zion it will be said, ish ve'ish yulad ba. A man and a man will be born in it. So the deeper meaning is that as a result of joy, ish, even though it's coming from the man, ve'ish yulad ba, it will create a man. It will create a male. The male will create male instead of male creating female. And that's going to be when Mashiach comes. Yes. Of course, but usually the nature of joy is that if it's real powerful joy, that you can't constrain yourself. So a person who's very happy will ultimately burst out into singing and dancing. If it reaches a peak, depends how powerful the joy erupts. Yes, of course, yeah. That's the difference between sagel and simcha. Simcha is when it reaches the outside. Sagel is when the joy is still within. It's called gila. Simcha and gila is two different things. Gila is when it's still brewing in the inside, and simcha is when it explodes into the outside. It's actually spoken in the Mittler Rebbe's Maimer on this, the difference of the sagel akara, the kibbutz banel, b'seicha, b'simcha. It says two things. It says sagel and simcha, which is. But we're almost done, so let's leave it for. Let's finish it inside. So now, the Tosfos. Oh, here. Behu sha'or bar v'nimshach ma'atzmus ha'matzel comes from the very essence of the emanator. The Tosfos ve'ilu rav, with an added and a very high light. Shaloi kederech v'seder adraga. Not at all measured according to all the measuring. Al derech dugma b'chinas ha'simcha b'melech bas v'dam. It's similar to the joy of a king, of an earthly king. She'yotza az chutz legidra. When a king is happy, he goes out of his boundaries, v'agbolas amidos, and he goes out of the limitations of his very own parameters, and therefore he can be close and open even to the lowliest of his subjects. Instead of, usually it's only he will he will loosen up to his close friends and so forth, but he will keep that certain distance. But when he's very happy, all that goes. Elachain, therefore, Yachal is galus lekatan kamay lagadon. He will reveal himself to the inferior, to the small, to the little guy, in the same way to the great aristocrat. Bishavah mamish, what? That's the opposite. Then there is that. Yeah, what? In what? In the like Elul time, there is a little bit like that. That's right. Kamoy ken lamayla mamish, so to above. B'chenas hazgalus simchal yoyna. There is this great a revelation of the great love, of the great joy. Hinei then, oz mischabrim and misarvim and miskalalim yachad. So then there is a fusion and a connection and a unification. Kolo oyres al yoynim. In all the supernal lights and energies. Atcha ein shim hefresh be mailo mata. Then there's no difference between high and low, yamin and smoil, right and left. Everything joins and everything is saturated with this higher, infinite light. V'azay and then nimshach is drawn. Sha'af ha'kara, that even the barren woman, tikbat banel, should gather in her children. Even though she's barren in it, because she's not putting in the effort on her own. More than that, the Mittler Rebbe says, even if she doesn't respond at all, she's not putting in any effort at all, it's totally coming from God. We don't even have what we learned a few weeks ago, Adam ki yakriv takrivu es korbanchem, you offer your own sacrifice. You're not doing anything. Nevertheless, out of nowhere, you can experience a love of rapture to God that is called that great love, that masculine love. Because joy is just beyond everything. If there is joy, then it can take a person to the greatest heights. So then, nevertheless, Yaleda Zachar is going to create the male. This is what we said before. And this is what we request. Let the barren one rejoice. And when she will rejoice, she will cause God to rejoice. And when she causes God to rejoice, God is going to bring the joy into her to create within her love that's beyond her capacity. Through the joy of the mitzvah, the barren woman is the assembly of Jerusalem. Tosses v'tagel ba'atma. She's going to rejoice in her own. The simcha shal mitzvah, the joy of the mitzvah. Ayadeiz ha ma'oirim gilui simcha al yayin. She will cause the revelation of the joy above. Ayadeiz ha atta tosses v'tagel akara. And then you are going to bring gladness to the akara. V'inyin misameach tzion bivanel. You cause Zion, to have banel, to have her sons. Even though she doesn't really deserve sons. But she will have sons. Elechein ayadeiz ha simcha gam kein. Oh, and now the Rebbe says something else amazing. This is also the reason, another thing that's going to be as a result of this. The other difference between man and woman is in das. We said before, the man's das is called chazaka, strong. The woman's das is called weak. But what is it, another, besides it being, earlier we learned, the masculine das is making the right choice. Choosing what's real over that which is temporary and enjoyable, but choosing what is the real thing. Going after the real thing. Now, but there's another point of having strong das, and that's what we mentioned at other times, is the question is, can a person be persuaded to something else? All this is wonderful. We all can study and learn about all this great love. And even if we can put it into practice and experience love, but what happens after we finish our prayers? What happens after we take off the tefillin? After we take off the talus? Or after we close the prayer book? When we go outside, it's all about bagels and lox again. It's all about, again, the world suddenly becomes very real, and everything physical becomes real, and then the person, the very same heart that was longing for God, longs for all kinds of other things, permissible and even the impermissible, even that which is forbidden. The question is the endurance to this love, is it permanent, is it going to last, or is it going to be fluctuation and change? If it's masculine, das chazaka, it's not going to change. It's feminine, it might fall. So that's the thing. If you experience the real love, the Hava Rabba, that can never be exchanged with anything else. Once that enters into a human being, once he experiences that true love, there's nothing that can compare to it. And there's a few reasons why that lasts forever. First of all, it's because it's totally divine. And it's coming from a place where there's nothing but God. It's His, and therefore, it's infinite.
It's coming from his internal. Internal is infinite, so it doesn't have an end to it, so it will last forever. Another reason is there's no selfishness to it. There's no selfishness to it. There's no I. But put it, let's go start the other way around. If the love is, I love God because I want to get close to him because it's enjoyable, it's something that is going to delight and satiate me. So it's all about me. It's about me. So to now, when I'm davening, and I'm studying Torah, and I'm in a state of meditation, so I'm standing face to face with the divine reality, and that's what is enjoyable for me, so then I'm enjoying that. The minute I go out of the shul, and I go out of a holy environment, and suddenly that reality dwindles away, or fades away, and a new reality enters my world, I enter into a new reality. What's the reality? The world, the world and all of its pleasures and all of its delights, being that the core of that desire was about me, I want to get closer, I can enjoy. So now I can enjoy cheese blintzes because it's again about me. So now it depends. So while I'm standing in front of this, so this is my enjoy, and when I'm standing in front of that, then that becomes my enjoy. So a person is very susceptible to falling from the greatest heights, even into the lowest depths, because it's there's that selfishness. So there can be the change can take place. However, if you experience selfless love, so there's nowhere to fall, because you're not concerned about yourself. You've tapped into absolute reality, and that. So what is it? There's no you anymore. There's no you to crave for anything else, to lust for anything else. You've lost your identity. You've completely surrendered your identity. This is a Jew who reaches such deep attachment to God, there is no him. So that's why it's durable, it's lasting, it's going to be forever. So therefore, the verse says, look at it says, go back to the verse that speaks about not serving God with joy. What is it? You don't serve God with joy. So if you don't serve God with joy, what does it say? Then what kind of love are you going to have? You're going to have female love. Because without joy, and you're not putting in the effort. It's possible you're putting, you have a masculine joy. But most of the time, you don't have. See, creating things on our own is very difficult. So without joy, we can only experience the higher love if we create it on our own. But if we don't create it on our own, then we're only recipients of God. And what kind of joy do we have? The female joy. The female. What kind of, not joy, what kind of love do we have? The feminine love. If it's a feminine love, then it is. It fluctuates. It's on and off. That's why, what does the verse say? As a result of you not serving God, you will serve your enemies. What does it mean you will serve your enemies? It doesn't mean building pyramids for the Egyptians. Serving your enemies means falling prey to the lusts and cravings of your animal soul and your left side, because that's our ultimate enemy, the evil inclination. Serving your enemy means finding ourselves wallowing in the schmutz and the filth, and not knowing what happened to us because we sit flat on the floor on our backs. And we wonder, where have we gone? After all this holy inspiration, now we're back down to square one. How did that happen? Because you're serving your enemy. You gave in to the temptation coming from the enemy. Why? It's all the result of not serving God with joy. Had you served God with joy, then even if you're not putting in all that effort, God would transmit to you that holy love, that greater love, superior love. Superior love is endless, and there is no wallowing and what are the words? Fluctuating and there's another word with an F. I got the word. Okay, what? Flipping. Yeah, okay. Flipping back and forth, that doesn't happen. That's what the Alter Rebbe is saying. So that's the second benefit. Besides to the fact of it, is that the person remains focused and you don't fall. As he says over here. The Lechein, Al Yedeya, Simcha Gamkin, through the joy also. Lo Yia Pchinas Vavadat Asavech. You're also not going to serve your enemies. Shekol Bchinas Shinuyim. Because all the fluctuations and all the changes, and the falling in the serving of God, which we all complain about. We have the moments of high, and then we have these low moments. When one falls from expansiveness into minuteness, that's the first level. You fall from a great love, and you fall from it, that means you don't experience it. That's one thing. But it can be even worse than that. Not only do you fall to a lack of inspiration, to a lack of excitement, God forbid a person can fall into sinfulness. V'gama nafilo b'taivis, and then also the fall into sinning. Sheza inyin v'avada tesavecha. This means to serve your enemy.
This is all as a result you did not serve God with joy. Because as a not as a result of serving God with joy, so then you're serving God, even though you create, you have love, but that love is filled with ego. I want to get close to God. And if there is an I, then today the I is aspiring to holiness. Tomorrow the I is aspiring to who knows what. Since he's a yesh misha'ayev, there's still a somebody, there's still an ego, a masik. There is a somebody that loves, and there's a somebody that comprehends. Shehu pchenes lagarmei, and there's still that selfishness. Umezen nimshach hanafila, and this is what causes the falling. Avala yadei ha-simcha ba-Hashem, but through the joy in God, lo yiyah shinuyim elu. There will not be these changes. There won't be these. There will be the continuation, the durability, the ayin b'parshas vayichi darfesh chafal b'parshas emer darkuv zayin. Look in the Zohar in these two parshiyos, b'inyan asar demishtani, about this that he speaks about the place that changes. It's a fascinating Zohar. I'm going to read it. So the Zohar says this is the sin of the. This is the sin. This is just awesome. The sin of this is parshas emer. It's interesting. It's the same exact Zohar quoted in Parshas Vayechi and quoted in Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor, words for word, it speaks about the sin of Eitz Hadas. God wanted Adam to eat from the Eitz Hachayim, from the tree of life, and he chose to eat from the tree of knowledge. And this is exactly these two trees of these two levels. The tree of life, the Zohar says, is the place that doesn't change. It's a place of absoluteness, meaning an attachment to God on a level where there is just permanence and oneness. But there you have to surrender your ego. And Adam didn't want to do that, he wanted to follow his wife. The woman, as the Zohar says, the woman in a sense over here means the place where she still retains a certain eye. And therefore she only wants to go to the level of Malchus, where there is the beginning of the roots of the world. Beyond Malchus there is no world, there is only God. And there she's afraid to go to. Let's read it inside. In Zohar Daf Kuv Zayin, on page 107. So in the Zohar it says like this. The Torah Isha, the woman saw, ki toiva eitz lamachol, the tree is good to eat. Ritai v'ila na'im, it is lustful to the eye. We're going, tochazi, come and see. The ha b'nei nosha lo yadin, most people don't know this. V'loi mestaklin, they don't look. V'loi mashgichin, and they don't apply their mind. B'shata the barak kutra b'richu la'adam, at the time when God created man. V'oikele b'yikari Allah, and he honored him with a supernal honor. Boim enel is dafke bay. God wanted him to cleave to him, to the level of sovev, to the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted him to cleave to the place of absoluteness. Begin the yishtakech yichidoi, so that he should find himself in a place of oneness, of ubeliba yichidoi, should have a single heart. Basar de dveikusa yichidoi, in a place of singular dveikus, the vacus of oneness. The lo yishtana, where there won't be any fluctuation. The lo yishapach la'omen, and he would never change. Vahi kishurid de mehimenusa, to bond with the place of faith. Let's understand something. This is a level of faith, but this is a level beyond comprehension. It's called the level of amunah. But this you can't comprehend, you can't understand it. The kula beis kasha, where everything is connected to. Hadoi d'chsev the eitzachayim b'toich hagan. And this is what's called the tree of life is in the garden. Lebaser sati ma'orcha de memnus. But afterwards they turned away from the place of faith. The shavku ilana yichidoi. And they left that singular tree. Ilah mikol ilan. The tree that is higher than all trees. The asul is tafka. They wanted to connect to the place of knowledge. What does knowledge mean? A place where I can comprehend and I can understand. I can retain an eye. Basar de mishtani, in a place that changes. Umishapich megavna legavna, and changes from color to color. Umitav lebush lebish, and that's why it's etadas toivara, good and evil. Because if there's ego, there can be holy ego, and ultimately it will turn into umibish letav, and from evil to good, it will go back and forth. Venach the roller coaster of up and down. Venach to me'ela letata, they will go up and down. And therefore, the izdavaki,
and they connected themselves the tat to the lower place, b'shinuyin sagiyin, in a place where there is many change. B'shafki la dekoyla, and they forsake that supreme, the higher place, the huchad, which is one, v'lo yishtane, and there's no changes, la'alma. Hadou d'chsiv, asher asa lekimes ha'adam yashar, there's a verse in Keheles. God says, God created man straight, v'heimu bikshu cheshbaynes ra'abim, and they desire, and they chose, they were seeking many calculations. Meaning they looked for a place of many. V'heimu bikshu cheshbaynes ra'abim vaday, k'dei neshapuch libayu b'hi sitra mamish, and therefore their heart was turned in that place. Zimnun l'tav v'zimnun l'bish, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. Zimla rachmi v'zimla l'dine, sometimes to compassion, sometimes to judgment. Okay, let me see. Amalai hikutshe b'richo, look at these words, it's so beautiful. God says to Adam, Adam, man, shafkis chaya v'stafkis b'moysa. You left go of the place of life, and you connected yourself to a place of death. Interesting. This pras, this little sliver, compared to the higher place, is called the place of death. Because it's God says, I've given you access to the tree of life. Eitz the ikrus chayim, the tree that's called life. The man the achid bay, whoever unites with it, loy tam tam the moisala omen, will never taste the taste of death. So you'll live on forever. Because life is, has to do with connection to God. If you're connecting to a place where you can still retain an ego, and automatically there is a possibility for detachment. And even if you're connecting, you're still detached. Because you're not completely connected to that absolute reality. You're not one with God. And if you're not one with God, then there's already a severance. If there's already a severance, ultimately the person can enter into absolute incomplete severance. And it can result in death. There's dafka bilana chara, and you're connected to the other side. Havade maisahu lekavlech. This is, so death is, ultimately, the person will fall into the place of death. Hadoi dechsiv, Ragleho yeredes maves, her feet descend to death. Generally, it means you only wanted to connect to the Shechina, and you didn't want to connect to the level called the Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Shechina, her feet descends into death. Ksiv moitzani marmi maves as a isha. I find a woman more bitter than death. What does that mean? The level of Shechina is considered, in a sense, death, because it descends into a place where there's a pluralism, where there is something other than God to allow other. Vaday basar de moisa is davik, connected to a place of death. Vishavik asar de chaya, begin kach igzar le kolam moisa. Then he goes in, if he sinned, why did everybody sin? Why did it bring test to the whole world? So he explains how we affected all of existence. But here he says, in the most interesting words, umalki lo lerachma loy v'yedai, and the supernal king, because as a result of his having compassion on his, on the work of his hands, oichachle, God warned him, and he said, from the tree of knowledge, good and bad, don't eat there. And you know what's also interesting? We know that that tree, what did it bring? It brought self-awareness. It says earlier they weren't aware that they were naked. Afterward, they became aware of themselves. Because that's the whole point. They chose to be aware of themselves. They wanted to have that experience. They chose experience. It all became about experience. Instead of being a total conduit to God, without any self, without any feeling of self, they wanted experience. So God says, don't go there. And he didn't accept. See, he followed his wife. And he was sent away forever. I mean, not forever. Because the woman only can rise to that place. What does that mean, a woman? That's what we learned all the time. The female love only rises to that place. Because the woman comes from Shechina. It comes from that level of God that is already contracted and leaves worlds for the world. The Itzagara Moisalakoila. And the woman caused death to all. But when Mashiach comes, so then it says, Ksiv Kiyamei or Eitz Yamei Ami. Like the days of the tree are the days of my nation. Because then we're going to access finally, after all the purification, to come back to the tree of life. And it's going to be Ish, the Ish Yuladba. And then there won't be any death anymore. That's what he's referring to, that Zohar, which is this same theme that we learned about over here. Let's finish this quickly. As he says, the place that changes. this lower love. Shemebchinas nashim daitin kalus. Bchinas lagarmei, a place where you want to retain a certain selfhood. Lakach yesh b'shinuyim. That's why there is changes. We learned that Maimer once, the great love, which is from the place of the masculine side, there is no change. It's called the tree of life. That even the joy has to have within it some level of fear and nullification, or else even sometimes joy can be dangerous. If it's a total openness, there has to be a fear in the joy, as he explains elsewhere. I'm going to appears on Pesach Tener, and that concludes the matter. Serving your enemies means falling prey to the lusts and cravings of your animal soul and your left side, because that's our ultimate enemy, the evil inclination. Serving your enemy means finding ourselves wallowing in the schmutz and the filth, and not knowing what happened to us because we sit flat on the floor on our backs. And we wonder, where have we gone? After all this holy inspiration, now we're back down to square one. How did that happen? Because you're serving your enemy. You gave in to the temptation coming from the enemy. Why? It's all the result of not serving God with joy. Had you served God with joy, then even if you're not putting in all that effort, God would transmit to you that holy love, that greater love, superior love. Superior love is endless, and there is no wallowing and what are the words? Fluctuating and there's another word with an F. I got the word. Okay, what? Flipping. Yeah, okay. Flipping back and forth. That doesn't happen. That's what the Alter Rebbe is saying. So that's the second benefit. Aside to the fact that it the person remains focused and you don't fall. As he says over here. The lechein al yedeya simcha gamking, through the joy also. Lo yia b'chinas vavadat asavecha. You're also not going to serve your enemies. Shekol b'chinas shinuyim. Because all the fluctuations and all the changes, and the falling in the serving of God, which we all complain about. We have the moments of high, and then we have these low moments. Megadlus lakatnus, when one falls from expansiveness into minuteness. That's the first level. You fall from a great love, and you fall from it, that means you don't experience it. That's one thing. But it can be even worse than that. Not only do you fall to a lack of inspiration, to a lack of excitement, God forbid a person can fall into sinfulness. V'gam anafilo b'taivis, and then also the fall into sinning. Shezeh inyin v'avada tesavecha. This means to serve your enemy. Kol zeh hurak tachas ha-shaloi avadeto b'simcha. This is all as a result you did not serve God with joy. Kiyem b'pchinas yesh. Because as a result of serving God with joy, so then you're serving God. Even though you have love, but that love is filled with ego. I want to get close to God. And if there is an I, then today the I is aspiring to holiness. Tomorrow the I is aspiring to who knows what. Masha, since he's a yesh misha ayif, there's still a somebody, there's still an ego. And masik, there is a somebody that loves, and there's a somebody that comprehends. Shehu pchenes lagarmei, and there's still that selfishness. And this is what causes the falling. But through the joy in God, there will not be these changes. There won't be these. There will be the continuation, the durability. Look in the Zohar in these two parshiyos about this, that he speaks about the place that changes. Some fascinating Zohar. I'm going to read this. So the Zohar says, this is the sin this is just awesome. The sin of, this is Parshas Emor. It's interesting, it's the same exact Zohar quoted in Parshas Vayechi and quoted in Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor is word for word. It speaks about the sin of Eitz Hadas. That God wanted Adam to eat from the Eitz HaChayim, from the tree of life. And he chose to eat from the tree of knowledge. And this is exactly these two trees of these two levels. The tree of life, the Zohar says, is the place that doesn't change. It's a place of absoluteness, meaning an attachment to God on a level where there is just permanence and oneness. But there you have to surrender your ego. And Adam didn't want to do that, he wanted to follow his wife. The woman, as the Zohar says, the woman, in a sense over here, means the place where she still retains a certain eye. And therefore, she only wants to go to the level of Malchus, where there is the beginning of the roots of the world. Beyond Malchus, there is no world. There is only God. And there she's afraid to go to. Let's read it inside. In Zohar Daf Kuv Zayin, on page 107. So in the Zohar it says like this. The Teira Isha, the woman, saw Ki Toiva Eitz L'Machol, the tree is good to eat. Ritai V'Hila Naim, it is lustful to the eye. We're going, Tochazi, come and see. The Ha B'nei Nosha Lo Yadin, most people don't know this. V'loi Mestaklin, they don't look. V'loi Mashgichin, and they don't apply their minds. B'shata D'bara Kutra B'richu La'adam, at the time when God created man. V'oikele B'yikari Yiloh, and he honored him with a supernal honor. Boim Enel is Dafke Bey. God wanted him to cleave to him, to the level of Sovev, to the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted him to cleave to the place of absoluteness. Begin the Yishtakech Yechidoi, so that he should find himself in a place of oneness, of Ubeliba Yechidoi, he should have a single heart. Basar de Dveikusa Yechidoi, in a place of singular Dveikus, the vacus of oneness, the lo yishtana, where there won't be any fluctuation, the lo yishapach la'omen, and he would never change, v'ahi kishurid de mehimenusa, to bond with the place of faith. Let's understand something. This is a level of faith, but this is a level beyond comprehension. It's called the level of amuna, but you can't comprehend, you can't understand it. The kula beis kasha, where everything is connected to, hadoi d'chsev ve'etzachayim b'toich hagan, and this is what's called the tree of life is in the garden. Lebaser sati ma'archa de memnus. But afterwards they turned away from the place of faith. The shafku ilana yechidoi. And they left that singular tree. Ilah mikol ilan. The tree that is higher than all trees. Va'asul is tafka. They wanted to connect to the place of knowledge. What does knowledge mean? A place where I could comprehend and I can understand. I can retain an eye. Basar de mishtani, in a place that changes. Umishapich megavna legavna, and changes from color to color. Umitav lebush lebish, and that's why it's etadas toivara, good and evil. Because if there's ego, there can be holy ego, and ultimately it will turn into umibish letav, and from evil to good, it will go back and forth. Venach the roller coaster of up and down. Venach to meela letata, they will go up and down. Vizdafku letata b'shenuyin segin, and therefore is devaki. And they connected themselves, letat in a lower place, b'shenuyin sagiyin, in a place where there is many change. V'shafki lo dekoyla, and they forsake that supernal, the higher place, the iuch, the hich, the huchad, which is one, v'lo yishtane, and there's no changes, la'alma. Hadou d'chsiv, asher asa elikimes ha'adam yashar, there's a verse in Keheles. God says, God created man straight, v'heimu bikshu cheshbaynes rabin. And they desire, and they chose, they were seeking many calculations. Meaning they looked for a place of many. And therefore their heart was turned in that place. Zimnul letav, zimnul lebish. Sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. Zimnul rachmi, zimnul ledine. Sometimes to compassion, sometimes to judgment. Okay, let me see. Amaloi hikutche b'richo. Look at these words, it's so beautiful. God says to Adam, Adam, man, shafkis chaya v'stafkis b'moisa. You left go of the place of life and you connected yourself to a place of death. Interesting. This pras, this little sliver, compared to the higher place, is called the place of death. Because it's d'chsiv e'etz ha'chayim b'teich hagan. God says, I've given you access to the tree of life. Eitz d'ikr chayim, the tree that's called life. The man, the achid bay, whoever unites with it, loy tam tam the moisel omen, will never taste the taste of death. So you'll live on forever. Because life has to do with connection to God. If you're connecting to a place where you can still retain an ego, and automatically there is the possibility for detachment. And even if you're connecting, you're still detached. Because you're not completely connected to that absolute reality. You're not one with God. And if you're not one with God, and there's already a severance. If there's already a severance, ultimately the person can enter into incomplete severance. And it can result in death. There's dafka bilana chara, and you connect it to the other side. Havade maisahu lekavlech. This is, so death is, ultimately, the person will fall into the place of death. Hadoi d'chsiv ragleho yeredes maves. Her feet descend to death. Generally, it means you only wanted to connect to the Shekhinah, and you didn't want to connect to the level called HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shekhinah, her feet, descends into death. Iksiv moitzani marmi maves as a isha. I find a woman more bitter than death. What does that mean? The level of Shekhinah is considered, in a sense, death, because it descends into a place where there's a pluralism, where there is something other than God, to allow other. Vadai basar de moitza is davik, connected to a place of death. Vishavik asar de chaya, begin kachi gzar le kalam moitza. Then he goes in, if he sinned, why did everybody sin? Why did it bring test to the whole world? So he explains how we affected all of existence. But here he says, in the most interesting words, and the supernal king, because as a result of his having compassion on his on the work of his hands, God warned him, and he said, from the tree of knowledge, good and bad, don't eat there. And you know what's also interesting? We know that that tree, what did it bring? It brought self-awareness. It says earlier they weren't aware that they were naked. Afterward, they became aware of themselves. Because that's the whole point. They chose to be aware of themselves. They wanted to have that experience. They chose experience. It all became about experience. Instead of being a total conduit to God, without any self, without any feeling of self, they wanted experience. So God says, don't go there. And he didn't accept. See, he followed his wife. And he was sent away forever. I mean, not forever. Because the woman only can rise to that place. What does it mean, a woman? That's what we learned all the time. The female love only rises to that place. Because the woman comes from Shekhinah. It comes from that level of God that is already contracted and leaves world for the world. And the woman caused death to all. But when Mashiach comes, so then it says, like the days of the tree are the days of my nation. Because then we're going to access finally, after all the purification, to come back to the tree of life. And it's going to be ish, the ish yuladba, and then there won't be any death anymore. That's what he's referring to, that Zohar, which is this same theme that we learned about over here. Let's finish this quickly. As he says, the place that changes. This lower love. A place where you want to retain a certain selfhood. That's why there is changes. We learned that Maimer once, the great love, which is from the place of the masculine side, there is no change. It's called the tree of life. That even the joy has to have within it some level of fear and nullification, or else even sometimes joy can be dangerous. It's a total openness. There has to be a fear in the joy, as he explains elsewhere. And that concludes the matter.